We are continuing on in a series looking at the Sermon on the Mount. And as we engage in the Sermon on the Mount, what we're looking at is like the biggest, longest sermon that Jesus ever gave. Another way to think about it is like the Sermon on the Mount is like the one of the most important or most vivid teachings of Jesus. When you look at the Sermon on the Mount, what you're asking is, Jesus, according to you, what does the good life look like? And one of the things that we've seen over the last few weeks is that Jesus is warning us or giving us a caution. He's cautioning us, don't be deceived. Don't believe the lie that the good life is found in dominating over other people, lying about things so that you can advance or you can get more, manipulating people or treating people as if they're subhuman. What Jesus is saying is don't buy into the lie that in Jesus' day, like the Roman Empire was saying, which is the way to advance in life, the way to have the good life is to divide and conquer, which is how empires work. What Jesus says is my kingdom is not a kingdom that grows or expands by dividing and conquering or stepping on others or punching people down. What Jesus says is my kingdom grows through sacrificial service and love. And so over the last few weeks, we've looked at some of the teachings of Jesus, and if you haven't had a chance yet, we do have a series guide available out in the lobby with the entire sermon printed in there, as well as some helps for you to help you guide you as you study on your own or in a group or maybe with some younger ones. And so those are available for you out in the lobby. But as we've looked at the sermon, we've looked at Jesus, and he says things like, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for you will be called children of God. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are those who mourn." And so what Jesus does is he flips the script. He says, look, I know all the kingdoms of this world tell you to dominate over others, but in my kingdom grows a completely different way than the kingdoms of this world. And we get to a text today that makes everybody feel feelings. Because what I'm about to read, Jesus said, and when you hear it, probably the first thing that you're going to think is, no, thank you. I would prefer not to engage in that. In fact, I think maybe Jesus is a little bit off of his rocker. Ready? This is what Jesus says. This is Matthew chapter 5. And he says in Matthew chapter 5, verses 43 and on, "You have heard that it has been said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy." By the way, is that like normal? Like, is it normal to just like love people that you like who are kind of like you and kind of like hate all the people you don't like? Is that normal? That's kind of like everybody does that, right? And I think Jesus is hitting on that when he says, "You've heard it said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies." Can we get a sign-up list? Or who wants to do this? Maybe we'll get a candy bar. Love your enemy. Love your enemies. Oh, man. I tell you, Jesus says, "I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you so that you may be children of your Father in heaven. For he causes the sun to rise on the evil and the good, and he sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward would you have? Don't even the tax collectors do the same?" So this is kind of like Jesus saying, like, everybody does that. If you just love people who love you, you're just like everybody else. And what Jesus is saying here in this teaching is he's inviting us to be a kind of people who live according to his kingdom, not like the ways that everybody else works. He says in verse 47, "If you greet only your brother and sister, what are you doing out of the ordinary? Don't even the nations do the same? Be perfect or complete as your heavenly Father is perfect or complete." What Jesus says is this: you've heard people say, love your neighbor, but hate your enemy. But I'm telling you, when you think about your enemies, I want you to love them. And love is one of those most recurring themes in Jesus' teaching. Jesus frequently says that all of the stuff that he talks about and all the stuff that you find in the Bible is primarily about one thing, which has two parts: love God and love people. And when we think about love, love is more than just a feeling. It's also actions. And to help us think more deeply about love in action, I would like to invite out the venerable intergenerational theater troupe.
Good morning and welcome to the Adventure Kids Intergenerational Theater. So now we have a few kids that I've already pre-selected that talk to me. And so once you guys go and head up on stage right here, you know who you are. And just have a seat just right over here. And so what we're going to be doing is we have some scenarios that we're going to be working through to see if they can figure out ways that they could serve different people. So I'm going to start off here. Why don't we start off with Carmelita and Easton? Why don't you come on up here? Just come right over here. Just kind of stand here. Easton, just come right over here. Just stand right here. Okay. Now, I want you to imagine the two of you. Think about it. You're in your house. Your mom and dad are making dinner. Beautiful homemade pasta like they always make. And they're making that pasta. And suddenly, baby brother starts crying. What could you, as the older sister, do to help? Try to find some props back there. See if you can find something that would help. Okay. Oh, a baby bib. Wait, could this possibly help? Could this help? Let's see. Oh, look at this. Oh. Very good. Perfect. Wonderful. Great job. Great job. All right. All right. So now, Nikan, you come on up here, and Sophia. Okay, I want you to find some props back here and get ready. Think of somebody super old, like over 40. Okay, see what would you do? Somebody over 40. Okay, so now, what I want you to think of is I want you to start thinking. Imagine you're finding this super old person over 40. I mean, that's old. Okay, imagine this person right now is like walking out of a grocery store. Okay, and you see this does he look like somebody dressing up like a 40-year-old?
He has a coat and a wig and a cape.
Okay, so this is our over 40-year-old right here coming out of the grocery store, and then suddenly something happens. He drops his bag. What could you do? Now, you got a couple choices. What you could say something, right? Like,
hey, you dropped your bag.
That's be a choice, or you could.
Here, let me help you, nice old
Tanya. Oh, there you go. All right, thank you too. Wonderful, thank you too. Okay, Evelyn Paisley, come on up here. Okay, come on up here. So Paisley, why don't you grab a ball? I want you like come right over here. I want you to act like you're playing in a like at school, but she's all by herself. So Evelyn, when you see her, she's kind of playing over here by herself and stuff like that. Can you think of something that you could do that would be kind to her?
Can I play?
Yeah, sure.
Oh, I love that. And you guys play. Now, can you think of something else that you could do?
Hey, everybody, come
there you go. Have the whole group. See, that's awesome. Good job. All right. All right, great job. Why don't you guys can go ahead and have a seat back over there again. Okay, perfect. Okay, now, I need this one right here. I need Bryson. I need Bryson to come on up here. I need Micah to come up and Sophia, okay? So Bryson, so what? I need you, okay? I need you. I need you to sit here at this chair. But first, you have two broken wrists. Okay, so find something in here. Find something in here. You're sitting at a food court in a mall, and he's got two broken wrists right here, okay? Oh, look at that. He's like trying to eat and he can't eat. Okay, so now, Micah, I need you to help me. I need you to try something that I want this to be obvious. This is not a way to help somebody, okay? This is not a way. Demonstrate how not to do it, okay?
Bummer, dude.
Oh. Bummer, dude, named his cookie. Okay, wait, so you got to have something better than that. You got something. How could you help him?
Oh, there you go. All right, good job, good job. All right, you can have that one, that's okay. All right, so how about this? So Carmelita, Lucas, you guys come up here. So come right over here. Now, imagine Carmelita right here. She just bought a brand new couch, but she just realized she only got curbside delivery, and she's standing out there, and her couch is there, and she can't move. Can you be a couch? Couch, right there, okay, couch. Okay, Carmelita, come on over here. Carmelita's standing here, and she's looking, and she's like, I can't move my couch in my house. But then suddenly Paisley sees this and says, Paisley goes, I want to help. I want to help. She looks out and she goes, try to help. But oh, you still don't have enough. Okay. And now, wait a minute. So now Micah says, I want to help too. Come on over, Micah, come on over. And then now Bryson says, I want to help. And now suddenly what a couch that couldn't be moved can now suddenly be moved with ease. All right, let's give them all a hand. Thank you all. You guys can head back. Thank you all. So whether it's we're in a park, whether you're in a food court, whether you're home, what they wanted to show you is there's all different ways that we can serve other people and show them the love of Jesus Christ. So thanks again.
Okay, so if love is more than just feelings, if love is action for another person's good, or the way that Jesus might talk about it is that if love is treating someone as you would want to be treated, not only in your posture towards them, but also in your actions towards them, and as Scott McKnight, who's a theologian, says, a rugged commitment to being with them and being the kind of person who is for them as they have an invitation to become like Jesus. If love is not only feeling, but also action of service for others for their good and for their benefit, and a commitment to treating them as you would want to be treated for their good as they have an opportunity to become like Jesus, I want to say again, the words of Jesus. You have heard it said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemy and pray for those who persecute you. This is more than just feeling positively towards someone. It's living in love in ways that bless the other person to be postured towards their good. Now, when Jesus talks about enemies, and I think this is so important, Jesus is not primarily talking about the person, like the person you have beef with. He's talking to a group of people saying, your enemies. So he's talking to a bunch of people who were being dominated by Rome. And probably what Jesus has in mind here is when he says, love your enemies, what everyone in that group was thinking is, we know who our enemies are, it's Rome. And what Jesus says is, as you live under the oppressive power of the empire, yes, love your neighbors, the people who are just like you, the people who have the same kind of money that you do, the same kind of politics that you do, the same type of ethnicity that you are. Yeah, love them and love those who your people believe to be enemies. Now, here's why, one of the reasons why that's so striking is because if you are of a people, which we all are, who has enemies and you show love towards that enemy, what do your people maybe think about you? You see, this radical call of Jesus to love, it takes what Rome was trying to do and it flips it upside down, because Rome gains power and grows its kingdom by treating enemies as people to be destroyed. But what Jesus says is, in his kingdom, enemies are not people to be destroyed. They're people whom God wants to use you to minister to so they might become neighbors. Or just think for a moment. Watch this now. Have you guys heard of Jesus? One person I read a bunch of, he said Jesus ate his way through the Gospels. If you read later today when you go home and read your whole Bible, notice that Jesus is constantly eating with people. And at tables, what the table did, and at communion, when we share communion, we kind of mimic this or act this out again. At Jesus' table, what he's saying is it's not just come and be fed, it also communicates you're my kind of people. When Jesus invited people to sit with him, he was saying to everybody else, including his own people, the people at this table are my kind of people. And who are the kind of people you think Jesus invited to his table? Jesus invited to his table the enemies of his people. Jesus views our enemies not as people to be destroyed, but as people to be invited in and to be made into neighbors. Another way to put it is, in Jesus' kingdom, is the people who you think are enemies, I'm actually making your neighbor. And so watch this now. So in the kingdom of God, will we have enemies? Like in heaven, when heaven meets earth in the eternal state, right? When Jesus returns and make everything that's broken whole again, will we have enemies? No. All of our divisions will be reconciled. And what Jesus says is, live that truth now. And so this is why Jesus says, you've heard it said, love your neighbor and hate your enemies. But I say to you, love your enemies. He's saying, live in light of that ultimate truth now. Live in light of the resurrection now. When you think about my people's enemies, he says, yeah, we know that the empires tell us that they are enemies, but what Jesus says is, have a fresh vision of others and to see in them, even our enemies, as future neighbors, and treat them as such now. And here's the end part where he says this. Check this out. He says, God gives the sun and the rain to the righteous and the unrighteous. Have you noticed this? Phoenicians, other places, it rains. And have you noticed that it rains on the good and the not good? Or it rains on the just and the unjust. It rains on the righteous and the... God showers his blessings on the righteous and the wicked. And what Jesus is saying here is, in the same way, you love your enemies like how God showers his rain and gives his son to everybody, so too you give your blessing and love to everybody. In this way, this is what he says, in this way, if you live that complete or perfect love, you will be like your Father in heaven. This, by the way, is why earlier in chapter 5, he says, blessed are the peacemakers. How do you make peace? You make enemies into neighbors. He says, blessed are the peacemakers, for you will be called children of God. And he completes the thought here in this text. And so let me leave you with one thing to be praying on, and no one here is going to like it, including me. How might God be inviting us to live this out? I would invite you to pray that prayer. How might God be inviting us to live this out? And so let me pray for us. And so, Lord God, we give you thanks. And as we receive this teaching of Jesus, would you give to us, by the power of your Spirit, not only a conviction to live it out, but the wisdom to do so as you would have us do. May we be a people like our Father in heaven, who live in light of the resurrection power and live the truth of the coming kingdom. Until that day comes, Jesus, may we be representatives of your goodness and grace, your mercy, your truth, and your power. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen.